And joining us now is Tony Artaban of Wise Wolf Gold. There's been a lot of development in the financial markets. I want to talk to Tony about that. Thank you for joining us, Tony.
It's good to see you, David. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Yeah, what do you think about this? You got the Powell pivot. Was it really a surprise? Did they bake this up? We had a stock market jumped up on it, but we already had some people who said, well, you know, we think they're going to lower interest rates earlier than we originally thought, but everybody knows they're going to lower it because of the election stuff. But how has that affected gold?
Well, you know, you have a lot of the fake paper markets, and it's I think it's helping drive the price right now, especially in those sectors. But that's really not what the issue with gold is right now. And it was funny. I was looking at the headlines like Santa Powell is driving the markets and happy days are here again. It reminded me of something. You know, he used the word transitory, him and Janet Yellen, about inflation. It was transitory. And then he became very hawkish. And then he raised rates faster than any rate in history. But I liked what they described now as the rate that they're holding. They called it the terminal rate. And I thought terminal really describes it better, doesn't it? It's a terminal rate now, David. And so they've decided they're going to raise rates or lower rates three times starting in 2024 and perhaps into 2025, another four times. That's what they say. And really, they don't have a lot of choice. If you're going to prop up the domestic economy, you're going to have to goose it with cheap fiat currency debt. Yeah. That's what it loves it. It survives off of that. So I think that's the plan right now. You're so right. It's an election year that has nothing to do with sound economics or actually saving the dollar or anything like that. I think you're just watching this play out where they're hand in glove with the federal government and the sitting administration. This is the deal.
Yeah. And if they can do moves that are going to cause the stock market to pick up, then everybody looks at their portfolio value going up. Well, I'm happy with this, you know? So, it's funny. They call him Santa Powell. I saw a cartoon of somebody had Klaus Schwab and had a person sitting on his knee, and they called it Santa Klaus. And he says to the person, he says, you'll get nothing and you'll be happy. That's basically what Santa Claus is, the Grinch who stole everything from us. Yeah, Zero Hedge has got a thing quoting Powell, and they call it the Powell pivot. They said, so on December the 1st, he said this. He said, it'd be premature to speculate on when policy might ease. Then on December the 13th, he said, rate cuts are something that begins to come into view and clearly is a topic of discussion. So I guess there's been a lot of economic change. Or political change is really what we're looking at there, right?
Well, it's very malleable. It's transitory, David. All policy is transitory. But I think a terminal better describes it, because what you're watching is the collapse of a system. And, you know, it's funny to watch the commentators and everything across the Twitter sphere or the X sphere or whatever it is now. We'll get into a couple of tweets here in a little while. There's so much faith in the fake stock market. It's really unbelievable.
Yeah.
Especially when you realize, you know, you have so much of the popular culture is looking at inflation now because it's so evident. I mean, it's gradually over your lifetime, things start to increase in price and you kind of get used to that because you hear your parents talk about it. Oh, it used to only cost a dime a gallon for gasoline and all, you know, I could go to the movies for a nickel. You hear all that stuff. Well, I think even with the memes like Home Alone, where the price has increased 247% and people are taking notice of that. Well, what's interesting to have the side by side thinking is that on one hand, you have pop culture realizing inflation is real, that the dollar is fake. And on the other hand, they say, well, I think we've had a soft landing. I think everything's going to be fine now. Well, if the trend is always to lose the dollar, loses value, then how can you have any faith in that system where you're investing? It's rigged against you. The mere fact that you're dealing in something that constantly loses value isn't in and of itself theft. Yeah. So it's funny, David. I was just doing some calculations before we did the show, and I have this $2.50 gold Indian. Okay, this is, I know you can't see it, right? I'm holding up to the camera, but it's about the size of a dime. Mm-hmm. This was $2.50 prior to 1933. I did the math on it, just the meltable gold value, not just the coin value, $247 today.
Wow. Wow.
$2.50, $247 in meltable gold.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you want to see a side-by-side comparison of what happened to the dollar, that's a great example.
Yeah.
That's where we are now. And you know, 10 years, 20 years from now, it's going to be even further away. Mm-hmm. So really, I think you're watching two separate things happen. The old system, and people are still running back to it because they have the familiarity with it and normalcy bias. Very dangerous, because on the horizon, you've got a complete reshuffling, I believe, of the global currency system. Central banks are buying gold at a record pace. We talk about that all the time. I think that's really what's behind the gold price. You'll have these fluctuations and you'll have some profit taking, but we're on a trend. This is not the last part of a bull market or the, this is something totally different in my opinion. And I'm not, this isn't about investment. This is about watching history happen. And as a matter of fact, I was listening to a couple different podcasts, and I got on Robert Kiyosaki's Twitter, and I was thinking, this is what I'm watching, and especially with some of the gold analysis, this is like the Twilight Zone. When he says in the opening, there's a signpost on the road ahead. We're watching the signpost.
And we're on the Outer Limits, where we control the vertical, we control the horizontal. We are completely in control of everything, and we're going to manipulate it, and we'll have our media come in. I'm looking at this headline where it says, this is from The Hill, Fed keeps rates at a 22-year high as inflation retreats. Yeah, I guess all the inflation retreated between December the 1st and December the 13th, right? It all just went away. So we can completely change that. And it has nothing to do with an election year, right?
Nothing whatsoever. It's very malleable, very transitory. Actually, it's terminal. Yeah. And I think this is what we're going to keep watching. This is going to be ugly. I had somebody comment on my ex. I don't know what I'm supposed to call the thing anymore. It's Twitter. Somebody at mentioned me and off of one of our interviews, and they were talking about, gold is manipulated and you don't talk enough about BTC. And it was a friendly tweet. And I said, well, actually, I love BTC, but there's going to be a revaluation soon. I don't know when. It's maybe not tomorrow or next week or this year, but it's coming, and it's going to be ugly. It's not going to be a pretty thing, because you have decades of manipulation behind the gold price versus the dollar. And it's funny. There's a tweet up on Gold Telegraph. I don't have anything to do with this account, but I find it interesting, and it's pretty on point. You can find him on X, and he asked, why doesn't, let me find the tweet. It was talking about Jerome Powell, and it asked him, why hasn't a journalist asked Jerome Powell why central banks are buying gold? He says, it's just a pet rock, right?
It's a pet
rock. The central bank of the United States and the Federal Reserve is not buying gold. Mm-hmm. I think this is a huge tell of what's happening in the world and where we're headed. And again, almost no major financial network is talking about it. Yeah. I think it's like you talk about, it's the Sherlock Holmes, the dog that didn't bark. Why are we focusing so much on these rate cuts?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It really is amazing, David. I mean, we're watching history happen, and there's just so few, there's a niche group of people that are and analysts that are looking at this, and I get goosebumps thinking about it. We're really watching, and this is happening faster than I haven't even anticipated.
Yeah,
because you and I, we talked about them lowering rates. We didn't see it possibly till getting closer to the election, summertime, 2024. No, they're already doing it, because I think there's so many economic indicators that aren't talked about, like the Mises Institute talking about the contraction of the actual money supply, contracting faster since any time since the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. Those are indicators of an economy that's dying. And you have hundreds of zombie corporations that are left over, not only from 2008, but from the scamdemic from 2020.
Mm-hmm.
They're propped mm-hmm. up. You were just hinting and talking about ESG and environmental social governance and how that all of those policies are linked to the Federal Reserve and the central bank. Those relationships are what keep these zombie corporations alive. You have possibly hundreds of systemic failures that could be going on simultaneously in the economy if the dollar loses its grip anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so it's not good. I wouldn't find this a Christmas rally.
Yeah.
I would think of it as a good time to exit. In my opinion.
Yeah. You look at the establishment press, like I said, The Hill, The Washington Post. Oh yeah. We've beaten inflation now. It's like, are you serious? And we talk about that policy of gradual inflation, which is now accelerated significantly. You held up that coin. When was that? You said it was from the 1930s, that coin?
It's a 1909.
Oh, 1909.
And I wish we had a better camera. It's a 1909, $2.50 gold Indian.
And so that's before the creation of the Federal Reserve. And what the Federal Reserve has done is get rid of 99% of the value of the dollar. It's not a way for us. It keeps people from being able to really accumulate wealth. And because they are anxious to be able to pay this back, to monetize the debt by saying, well, with inflation, we can pay it back with cheaper dollars. But they don't even have to worry about that. As long as they've got this fiat currency, they can just keep printing. And so when you tell people, don't worry, the Federal Reserve is going to rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic, and everybody just parties on. And so you see the Drudge Report, there's a big champagne glass up at the top. Let's party on. It's like it's 1999. There's absolutely no concern about these people going to bring down inflation without triggering a recession, says the Washington Post. Well, good luck with that. Hope that's true. But my concern, again, is, you know, when you look at the long-term value, you look at what the gold does hold its value long-term. But the other thing about it is that we got to get out of the dollar system because of the CBDC. Now, you mentioned Bitcoin. I've talked earlier this week about how focused they are on Bitcoin. And in terms of manipulating markets, they can manipulate, and they do, the gold, the silver market, but they also manipulate the Bitcoin market as well. It's got a small market cap for these people. It's very easy for these people to come in and manipulate it. And they've got all kinds of tools at their disposal. It could be anything that they're going to do, but Elizabeth Warren is flat out focused on getting rid of cryptocurrency, and she's got the Biden administration focused on that with her as well. And if we're not careful, they're going to come after cash. They'll come after anything that is outside of their dollar. And so it is important to push back against that, but it's also important to have a variety of things that are going to be something that's going to keep you out of this system as they redesign it. And I like to physically have something in my possession because I'm just too concerned about what can be done with crypto and with manipulation. So,
well, you have Jamie Dimon testifying before Elizabeth Warren, and he's done this many times. I do not trust this man. He goes out and he'll say something counter to Bitcoin, something derogatory. He'll dismiss it. And then you find out later that his bank and, entities associated with JP Morgan are buying it. Mm-hmm. So he's dropping the price. And I don't know how much of that is built into his testimony, but it's pretty disgusting. And, you know, you talked about that, the argument that a lot of crypto people will say, well, actually, it's the dollar and it's cash.
Yeah.
So we should ban that. You know, but that's not the answer either. I totally, totally get that.
Yeah.
You know, there's another tweet from Gold Telegraph I thought was interesting. The Federal Reserve forecasts 3 rate cuts next year as inflation is still way above the target of 2%. The economic machine is broken. It's starting to make sense why CBDCs are coming so fast.
Yeah.
This is the controlled demolition to bring in the central bank digital currency.
Yes.
And they're going to go after Bitcoin. I don't know how much damage they can do to Bitcoin, but always look, this is a sleight of hand. Whenever they're going to release something new into the ecosystem, whether it's a spot Bitcoin ETF or whatever, through the Security Exchange Commission, getting all the approvals for the mainline financial behemoths to buy in, always watch for them to try to bring it down first. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what they're doing, but it makes sense to me. It's an old trick. They use it all the time. They get their clients in, and then they go out and they cheerlead for it. Bitcoin it can be manipulated. It's actually harder to do than gold, in my opinion, because of there can't be any new Bitcoin put into the system. They do manipulate it. They do it through the public relations. They do it through like the testimony in front of Elizabeth Warren, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that means. I do like Bitcoin. We talk about it. There's a lot of, I loved crypto. I like crypto technology, David, but again, it's there's so much volatility over there. I'm not telling anybody to go get into it. I think it's good to understand. But the reason that you and I talk every week is because we're not really talking about investments. We're talking about the overall historical implications of a dying dollar.
Yeah.
And we don't want that. You and I don't want that to happen because it's going to hurt people. But we're trying to get people that are listening and are tuning in, that are aware that getting outside of the system is the answer. Because having physical things that you trade that are outside of the banking system, because the banking system is very volatile. I never tell people to close out their accounts, but you need to be aware that there's things that could happen in this country, like bail-ins, freezing your account. there's a little known bit of history after the 2008-2009 crash, the debacle, where we had TARP funds. Just after that, David, I watched, this was on 60 Minutes, and it didn't get a lot of coverage, but you would have teams of people from the FDIC that would go in at night and take over a bank, wear the uniforms, they would let everybody go, and they would have the uniforms on, they would take over the bank. Those banks were repatriated, basically nationalized by the FDIC, major banks all over the country, and they did this quietly as to not cause a banking panic. This happened all over they would secretly, so you would go and your bank would still be open and you think you're talking, but there was all the tellers and everybody operating there were FDIC employees.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. Well, you know, it is interesting because when we look at Jamie Dimon, and of course he's the CEO of JP Morgan, but he's acting exactly like the namesake of it, you know, like JP Morgan himself, as he's manipulating these things and lying to people, as people pointed out that, crypto is for criminals. Is that why you got your own coin? And as far as criminals, look at the billions of dollars that you've had to pay in criminal fines and other things like that. But at the same time, when you look at the way JP Morgan, his namesake, manipulated the financial system, got us the Federal Reserve and everything, there's now this thing. I don't know if this is the first time I saw this, Tony. They started talking about this in July. The Basel III endgame regulations. I thought, whoa, does that sound like that's something from the Bank of International Settlements? And yeah, it is. And it's under the guise, Tony, of saying we're going to take care of, we've got to control these big banks because they're dangerous, right? And so we've got to have, if you've got assets of $100 billion or more, we're going to put some other some additional capital requirements on you. And of course, the people who are pushing this new stuff, Daily Caller has got an article about it. The people who are pushing it are the people like Elizabeth Warren, JP Morgan, these other people. They keep saying, well, we got to get these big banks under control. And so we're going to create the Consumer Financial Protection Board. And yet what did that do? That made it impossible for the small and medium sized banks to do business. It made it harder for small businesses to get loans and things like that. This is, they call it endgame. That's what they call it. Basel III endgame regulations. And the end game is, I think they want to end small business and small banks because that's what this is going to do. They're going to double the capital requirements for that, which means that they're going to go up in interest rates for everybody. And it's going to put some of these smaller banks out of business. So just arbitrarily raise the regulations and the capital requirements. And sorry, you don't meet that anymore. And that's the way they bring in the FDIC goons to shut them down.
Well, it's just like you go back through history, the crash of 1907 was orchestrated to help public opinion turn towards a new central bank. Of course, they didn't call it that. They had the meeting at Jekyll Island on November 22nd, 1910. Mm-hmm. Funny thing about J.P. Morgan, too, it's something I noticed. His lifespan, he was born in 1837. His lifespan was the exact amount of time that we didn't have a central bank. He died in 1913. So it was from the year one of not having a central bank, Andrew Jackson said, I killed the bank. He wanted that on his tombstone. He called him a den of vipers and thieves and got rid of the bank. And we didn't have one from 1837 to 1913. Mm-hmm. And always a crisis was used to precipitate the will to do that. And they had some real skullduggery setting that up too, David. I mean, yeah, I know your documentary, It's a Wonderful Lie, it's coming up on that time of year again.
That's right.
They ran it through on Christmas Eve, actually December 20, going into the 23rd, 24th, mm-hmm. when Congress went home. They used a lot of skull, and they also actually opposed it. Those who had written the bill, like Aldrich, opposed that sort of, it's too strong, it's too regulatory. And it's very, very brilliant the way that they did that. And I think this is what more and more consolidation, and if you study, you know, conspiracy, if you want to call it that, if you want to study the conspiracy theory of history, it's all about consolidation. So it would make sense that the bank, International Bank of Banks, is the BIS. And as a matter of fact, a little known fact, the gold that was turned in 1933, when Franklin Roosevelt said, turn in your gold, and, you know, had the price of gold at $20 an ounce. And once he accumulated all that he figured he was going to get, they raised the price to $35 an ounce. Well, that gold went to Basel, Switzerland, to the Bank of International Settlements.
Yeah. Did they put it in a sealed train with Vladimir Lenin?
I think they're waiting for, they waited a few more years. Yeah, that's right. They had to fund communism. That's true.
Yeah. It truly is amazing. You know what it really is, a den of vipers and thieves. And Andrew Jackson was right about that, wasn't he? And it is amazing. You know, David Stockman, when I talked to him, and he's written subsequent articles about this as well, the destruction of the American middle class. If you divide it out, we just had a congressman say, well, you know, it divides out to $100,000 debt per American that we've got out here. And he says, when you look at the fact that you had this massive quantitative easing, the lowering of interest rates and all the rest of this stuff, and look at how that transferred money to the upper smallest percentage, the 1% or the 1% of the 1%, the 0.1%, and how much wealth they gained at the expense of other people because they're in the stock market. It's one of the reasons, I guess, that Trump and Biden constantly talk about the stock market. That is their metric for success. That's a big part of the wealth transfer when they pump that up. But as he's pointing out, this is destroying the middle class. And it's not just the quantitative easing and the interest rates and other things like that, but it was also the Trump trillions that were put in there with the COVID stuff. That's what David Stockman talked about when he came on here talking about that. And he's got a book coming out in January talking about how Trump disrupted the economy and he calls it the war on capitalism. And it truly was a war on capitalism because you're not even going to really be a good thing for the economy, even through the stock market. That's just a temporary sugar high. What they're doing is by laying this kind of debt across society, they really are enslaving us and taking away everything out of the society. And so this is something that's going to continue we've seen with all of the debt policies, we've seen how gold has kind of hung in there. But again, the thing I keep coming back to is to completely restructure the financial system and completely restructure that with CBDC. So my instinct is to hang on to something that is physical and traditional and that has really been there for a long time. Let's talk a little bit about silver. You know, everybody keeps talking about how silver is down at such a small ratio. Has there been any move in silver recently or any indication of silver changing? We saw we saw Bitcoin go up. We saw gold go up in response to this news that interest rates were going to go down because everybody saw that as being inflationary. What about silver? Has that moved at all?
Not like it should.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at goldprice.org right now, it's where I keep the spot prices rotating. $24.17. So 24.17 Luciferian Bankster notes make one troy ounce of silver on the spot, the global spot price. That is cheap. And historically, I'm going to have to get my calculator out, but I think we're probably like it takes like 87 or so ounces of silver to make 1 ounce of gold. And all throughout human history, that number has been completely different. So even going back to ancient Rome and the Egyptians, it's usually 10 to 15 to maybe sometimes 20 to 1 at the most. Mm-hmm. And only in our era, where you have maybe an error, only in our era, when we have a central banking and the markets are so skewed and value so skewed, and we really don't know what houses any value, do you jump to crazy numbers like 87 ounces of silver to make 1 ounce of gold? That makes no sense. I mean, even geologically, David, it takes there's 17 ounces of silver for every 1 ounce of gold estimated in the ground. Mm-hmm. So why would you have in the third dimension, like, right, you know, a developed mind and process? How can it be 87 during the crash and scamdemic the beginning of the first quarter of 2020? It was 125 ounces to 1 ounce of gold. So it doesn't make any sense when you have, you know, I was 1 year old and it was $50 an ounce. Not again.
Wow.
Almost 44 years ago.
Wow.
It was $50 an ounce. That makes no sense, knowing what we know about the debasement of the dollar. The debt of the U.S. at the time was less than a trillion. We're at 33.5 trillion and climbing rapidly. We have 130% debt to GDP ratio. Why is silver so cheap? These are open, especially when it's the most thermoconductive metal. I'm a cheerleader for silver, not even as an investment, but just look how crazy that number is. It's so cheap right now. But you still won't find mainstream analysts talking about it because it there's something wrong with it. And I do know that you talk about Jamie Dimon. Who's the largest holder of silver in the world? It's JP Morgan.
He's waiting for something to happen, isn't he?
Well, and they're accumulating the physical.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's interesting. I guess maybe we should start looking at what he accumulates rather than looking at what Nancy Pelosi's been a good bellwether, her husband. You know, his portfolio, you know, if you mirrored him in the stock market, you'd do pretty well. But
just hammering away.
Exactly. He's hammering away at it. So, yeah, maybe it's J.P. Morgan that you need to look at. Tell us a little bit about what is happening as we run up into Christmas. We talked a little bit about it last week when you were on. You got some commemorative things there, perhaps, and some other gifts. Or what kind of gift ideas do you have at wisewolf.gold?
Well, we definitely anything that you need for gold and silver, you can buy direct through davidknight.gold. But we also have our membership program, and as little as $35 a month or just one-time purchase, you can get Wolf Cub, and that's for kids. And Melissa put together a great newsletter, actually, and the team helped too. But we have a newsletter for Wolf Cub, and it tells a story. It has some crossword puzzles. Yours truly did the questions for the crosswords, like fiat is, you know, fake. You can look that up. I don't want to ruin the crossword, but you can, and it's good for, it's fun for kids. And we're going to be putting next year. I got a lot of attention. I'm going to pay to the Wolf Cub, for, you know, just history, different types of coins, even stuff like, you know, the Indian head pennies and things that are neat, you know, because those are still copper. Copper is going to be in the news, I promise you, next year, folks. All the precious metals will be, the resources will be there, but we're focusing on gold and silver. Wolfpack has so many great things happening right now. I'm going to be putting in some Christmas rounds. I know those are already going out, 1 ounce Christmas commemorative silver rounds and fractional coins. And we stayed ahead of the market. We bought some gold early, so we've still got supply on some of the fractional stuff. But the plan is, and we're really thankful, is to grow next year, continue to add members so we can buy collectively for everyone, better deals and better supply. So that's my goal right now. I'm kind of floating back between Branson and North Texas with our two locations, and just keeping the supply chain open. It's not as easy as it may sound. There's not a lot of availability in product like there used to be when I started this business.
All right, I imagine so. Well, it's always great to talk to you. And again, davidknight.gold, Tony has set that up to take you to wisewolf.gold. And he's got some great programs there where you can do this gradually, where you can train kids with a wolf pack. And we can also get information because he's building a little community there. You get information, exchanging it with other people as well as gradually saving. But of course, he can get you gold and silver in any quantity, large or small. And that's one of the key things about that. Tony, it's always great talking to you. And again, nobody knows what the future is going to be, but we need to do what we can. The older I get, the more conservative I get, because, you know, when you're young, you make a lot of mistakes, don't you? And so it's I've had experiences with some of the more speculative investments. That's why I get more conservative as I get older. It is so good to talk to you. And again, davidknight.gold will take you to Tony and let him know that you came through us. Thank you so much, Tony. Appreciate it.
Thank you, David.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Life is a continuous confrontation with forks in the road. One is good, one is bad. And you could always wander completely off the road altogether and become lost. Totally and completely lost. If you take the wrong fork at one of these junctions, there is always the opportunity at the next fork to get back on track. But it is a constant battle within ourselves. You see, I have studied this concept for many, many years, and I have to tell you that if there is a real devil, like Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. Now, I'm not telling you that there's no such thing as Satan or Lucifer. I'm telling you this. If there really is a devil, that devil exists in the hearts and minds of men and nowhere else. Nowhere else. For if you take man out of the equation, evil ceases to exist, and there is left only the laws of the universe and the balance of nature. Put man in the equation, and before long, evil will rear its ugly head and present itself to the world. The evil is within man, and that is why it was called the fall. The devil never made anyone do it. If you do it, you did it yourself because you fell into temptation. For until man once again confronts the real nature of his own condition and of the world around him and accepts full responsibility for his actions without blaming anyone else or any devil, until then, we will always be a puppet on the end of someone else's string. And ladies and gentlemen, when that someone pulls that string, we will dance.